Blog Talk Radio.
Who's looking at your internet profile? Are you being cyber stalked or just cyber checked out? My name is Emily Leibelsberger, here tonight with Mark Gorkin. How are you doing, Mark?
Oh, I'm checking it out.
Checking it out. Who are you checking out?
Well, actually, got a lot of interesting things going on LinkedIn.
Ooh, nice. All right. Tonight we're exploring cyber insecurity, this whole idea of privacy. Do we have privacy anymore, Mark?
I think that's a good question. I don't think about it as much as I should, because, you know, apparently whenever you look at a website, you're leaving a record, mm-hmm. a trail that people can track you down in essence.
So if you're listening to this show, they're going to know about it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I really don't think about it at all. Just a generational thing. I guess I just sort of, it is what it is. If people are going to know I visit certain sites, it is what it is. I really don't care. I don't have anything to hide. So we're going to start out tonight by exploring a little bit of that.
You know, Of course, there's a macro level and the micro level. The mm-hmm. macro level is, you know, Apple against the FBI.
Right, absolutely.
You know, where... you know, real important issues related to how much should the government be able to check out your, you know, just everyday doings.
Your searches, your downloads, right.
You know, your phone calls.
Who,
yeah,
what
you know, and I think, you know, there's been some sense that they overstepped their boundaries. Now, clearly in an age of terrorism and, you know, just wholesale violence, you know, the government has to have a license to investigate and anticipate.
Well, you know what I always say, if I had to choose between the government and FBI and Apple, I'm going to choose the FBI because my iPhone, right, Apple's not going to protect us against a terrorist attack, but the FBI has a chance at doing that. So I got to vote for them on this one, I think. I don't think I'm going to vote for Apple. But I know some people who are going out and buying new iPhones because, oh, Apple, you know, we got to support them. You know, they're fighting against the man, against the government, you know. And I get that, but again, Apple's not going to protect me from a terrorist attack.
That's one of the macro issues that, you know, obviously we're not going to be able to solve here. But our approach is more psychological and communicational.
Yeah.
And there, I think, some new norms are being established in terms of maybe generational, but as I mentioned to you the other day, someone I know was saying how he was going on a blind date and mm-hmm. he was going to just routinely, you know, do a thorough internet
cyber
search.
Cyber check her out.
Yeah, cyber check her out. And, you know, I didn't comment, but when he said, oh, it's normative, everybody does it, there still was a little bit of an intrusiveness.
Cyber freak you out?
Well, it didn't freak me out, but it left a bad taste.
Yeah.
And
so this whole idea of checking out someone online, look at their online profiles, try to figure out as much as you possibly can based on what you can find on them online. And the response you got, right, was it's common practice. Everybody does it.
Yeah,
right?
And certainly, of course, in my generation, I don't think I know everybody doesn't do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think there's, you know, on the one hand, hey, you can say, well, I want to make sure I'm not dealing with a stalker.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but I don't know if that's the real issue most of the time.
Right.
I'm wondering if we have this increasing need for control and at the same time some discomfort with uncertainty and the unknown.
Well, let's talk about how we feel about it first, just you and I, because I think we look at it a little bit differently. So when you're talking about this issue, for me, I'm thinking about it. Do I have an issue with being cyber checked out? And my immediate response is no, I really don't care because I have nothing to hide. And if someone wants to cyber check me out, that's fine. But who are they? And what are they going to do with the information? I mean, really, what can they do with it? But are they just going to hold it against me or make some judgment on me? Or I don't know who they are. I don't know their motivation. I think that's, for me, where it gets a little...
Well, you know, and but let's pick, stay with that.
Sure.
What would motivate a person to have to, you know, really check you out in so much depth? You know, you're not like an employee that, you know, an employer wants to, you know, really get a handle on. You just, you're going out on a blind date, let's say. And what about some of the unknown? You know, the who's this person?
Well, if I advertise for a blind date, they find out that I was married, and that would probably kill the whole thing.
Okay,
so,
well.
I guess I better hide that a little bit.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, you're right. So what's their motivation, right? So the blind date example seems a little bit obvious. They want to know who they're going out on a blind date with. Maybe there's a protective mechanism there. They want to control it. They want to make sure that they can bail out if they need to, or maybe bail before they even go.
Or, as we've talked about, maybe they're just not really comfortable making spontaneous communication or having spontaneous communication. It's got to be all, you know, sort of, okay, I know I can talk about this subject, mm-hmm. can't talk about that subject. And I'm wondering, what is that saying about our curiosity,
mm-hmm.
our capacity to improvise, to just be spontaneous in the moment,
right?
Not have it, you know, all checked out.
Right, right.
And I think there are some implications for even general information processing. Do I want everything, you know, like I hate when I have an assignment and someone has told me every step of the way that I have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I really like when there's a certain element of uncertainty and I can sort of add my own unique fingerprints on the project.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. So what you're saying is, are we checking people out online because it's easier than being curious and getting to know them in person?
That's a good point. It's that we're so virtual now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so easy to just check up, find out everything on Wikipedia, or, you know, you have you're not sure about something. God forbid you'd let your mind, you know, run it through your mind for a while. No, let me go on the iPhone and ask Siri for the answer.
Right, right.
It's like I think we're giving up some independent thinking.
Right.
You know, we're becoming so attached to our gadgets,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, as I once said, you know, keep your iPad. I prefer an iMind.
Yeah, you got a nice little laptop over there, Mark. So this whole idea, though, of who's looking at my profiles, you know, sometimes I want to know. You know, because then I feel like I have a little more. I don't really care that they're looking, but I do kind of want to know about it. So I have some way to know how often they're looking. If I knew that John Smith looked at my website today, and then he looked at my Facebook account, and then looked at, you know, every single thing I have out there online, all right, that's interesting. But then, you know, if I knew that John Smith did the same exact thing the next day and the next day and the next day,
yeah,
and then did some Google searches on me, I'd want to know that. That's sort of like cyber stalking. Now,
yes.
It's not just about checking me out. That's more about stalking. And I guess I'm wondering what kind of alerts, what kind of safeguards there are against cyber stalking.
See, I don't know.
I know for a listener out there, pay attention to your settings on Facebook, on any other social media. Is this post meant for the public to see, or is it just meant for your friends to see? If it's meant for your friends to see, who are you friending? Are you friending everyone you know and everyone they know? What are you saying in your posts? Do you let them know you're going out of town on your Facebook post? Some things to think about. Know your settings. know your privacy limits and restrictions, and know what you want them to be.
You know, we had another discussion that I think was interesting,
yeah.
Emily, in terms of pros and cons of knowing in advance. And the issue that we discussed was, as counselors or as clinicians,
mm-hmm.
did we want to read a
Yeah, you asked
report?
Me a question. You asked me the question. I thought it was a great question. Ask me the question again.
Yeah. Did you read previous case records on your clients, you know, before you were going to see that client for the first time?
I've done it both ways, and I hated reading it, because when I would read a client record, I wasn't as curious about them when I met them in person. So I elected not to read it up front, to just get to know the person, give them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to be real with me, they're going to be honest. And then I would often go back and read the record for consistency. Okay, what did they tell the evaluator? What did they tell the previous person that they maybe didn't tell me or did tell me? And that would teach me a lot about the person. But I learned the most about them from just having a conversation, going into it cold and not knowing anything.
Yeah, and I think that's there's something. I know I felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to have like this prejudgment or sort of like a baseline level of information that was going to be like a filter.
Even a
that,
diagnosis.
Yeah,
that
was
going to
really direct
right.
me.
Right.
You know, instead of, as you say, being more open mm-hmm. to what's taking place here and now between
mm-hmm.
me and that person.
Right.
And what am I picking up verbally, non-verbally, emotional cues? What's my body telling? You know, my gut telling me. I mean, these are all the things that I hope we're not losing in being so sort of electronically oriented.
Well, let's put it out there for the listener who's going to be going on blind dates, right? Or maybe they're not totally blind. Maybe you're going to go with. Yeah.
I was going to say, that, of course, these days it isn't so blind date. You have Match.com, you have
sure.
eHarmony.
Right. So maybe
you're
going to
get
some information.
You're getting some information.
Yeah. Maybe you're going to go out with someone who you know a little bit about. But these are some things to consider. Keep that curious mindset. Mark, why don't you talk about what are some of the advantages of just, well, first of all, what does it mean to just be curious? And then what are some advantages of that?
Well, I think being curious it's almost like it takes a little bit of sometimes humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is, hey, you know, I don't really know as much as I think I know.
Right. I don't know anything about you.
You know,
right.
Whether it could be another person, it could be many things. And it's almost like it's okay to feel like a little bit of a raw beginner.
Right.
You know, I think I remember one client of mine once saying, I never want to go back to feeling like the way I did as a kid. And he was very controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And while we don't want to feel totally inept, you know, anytime you're really starting out something new that's a little bit different, there's going to be a feeling of, oh, I'm a little bit of a fish out of water. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. That's what keeps our... You know, if we can, you know, tolerate that feeling and not belittle it, not label it in a negative way, that is, you know, just because you've demonstrated real ability and competence and capacity in many areas of your life, starting something new is not a sign of weakness if you feel a little uncertain.
All right, so there's some uncertainty. I'm a little humble because I don't know exactly what I'm dealing with, who I'm dealing with. So,
and what might happen? The curiosity,
what might happen,
the possibility.
Right. So why don't you talk a little bit about how to be curious?
Let's see. What would be a good example? Well, for me, writing poetry the last few years. I mean, this was not...
But I mean in a blind dating.
Oh, in a blind date.
Curious about people. Curious about that other person. You're concerned that we're losing this ability. Then tell the listener... How not to lose the ability.
Okay. Well, I've been curious about you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a date. I mean, just getting to know you. You know, one of the things, and actually you helped me realize that I wasn't being curious enough. I was looking too quickly for an answer. I remember at some point I was a little concerned about, you know, was this radio podcast really going to work? And, you know, I didn't want to bring on other people. And I remember you said to me, Mark, slow down. You know, we're not, you know, I'm not bailing. You know, I was concerned whether you might lose interest. And I guess that is something that maybe translates sometimes when I have been dating women. You know, how much are they compatible? Are we going to be? Is she going to, you know, find me attractive? And you really helped me see that, you know what, let's just go with the flow and see what happens instead of, you know, my trying to, you know, make it right quickly.
Right. Okay, so go with the flow, calm down. Let's give the listener some tangible ideas, though. Because let's say we are losing that. I think we probably are. I'm very good at being curious. One of the first things I do when I meet someone new is remind myself to be curious about them for two reasons. One, I want to get to know this person in their entirety. I'm not going to even do that by finding out written material on them, whether it's in a file or online or wherever it is. I'm going to get the most information by asking open questions.
Yeah.
Right? So one of the biggest questions I ask, and people are like, it usually kind of catches them kind of off guard, but it gives me some information about them is, well, tell me about yourself. I'm like, ugh, I don't know. You know, but it's a good way to gauge their confidence level, their security with themselves. How well do they know themselves? Because I've seen a lot of people who can answer that question. They rattle off something. Okay, that's quicker than I could have answered that question. That tells me something about them, right? And just asking questions based on what they say. Right?
I think that's something, maybe a second cousin to that is I'll ask someone, not of what you do, what are you passionate about?
Yeah, what are you passionate about?
Right. You know, and people really enjoy that question because they don't get enough chance to talk about their passions with enough people.
You have an opportunity going on this date, whoever you are, you have an opportunity to give someone else the experience of being known. That is what we're in danger of losing in our humanity, this being known. Because you're not going to know me through my internet profile. I don't care how good, how well written it is. And it's probably better written than 50% of them out there. But you're not going to know me through that. You're going to know me through getting to know me, through interacting with me. So when you're going to go on this date, this is your chance to be known and your chance to give someone else an opportunity to be known as well.
And it's really not just a date. It's almost
any
relationship.
Encounter.
Right, interpersonal encounter.
Yeah, you're seeing someone at work, right? And it's a new colleague. Be curious about that. I used to always love when we had new people in the clinic and these new counselors would come in. And I always just wanted to get to know them. And I wasn't so focused on getting their work done. Okay, well, yeah, I get it. But if we don't really know each other, how well are we going to work together in the first place?
No, that's really, I mean, I think of you and I, that we've really made an effort to not just meet for the radio show, but to prepare, to talk a little bit about, you know, just our own personal side of life, and I think that's been invaluable.
Right.
I think it leads to us feeling very comfortable,
right,
you know, sort of give and take, disagree, you know. Come on, Mark, give me something more specific on, you know. But that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. It takes that sense of this person really is interested in me, is curious, is support, you know, is basically has my back. And, you know, we really enjoy breathing the similar air.
Right, right, right. Yeah, so where does that take us?
Where does that take us? Well, I think one, the importance of asking good questions.
Right.
I also see this, you know, I've talked about this in other shows, as a sign of respect. What is respect? It's not putting someone on a pedestal.
Right.
You know, it's really paying careful attention to their lived experience, emotional framework, and worldview. paying careful attention to a person's lived experience, emotional framework, and worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And how hard is it to pay attention to someone when you're typing on a computer?
Yeah, doing a million other things in the background, probably.
You know, and trying to hold a conversation with someone who's standing next to you. I
right.
know I am guilty as charged. And it, you know, in fact, I've become so, you know, it's like, hey, you're intruding on my space. Please don't bug me now. And it really, I'm sure before I had a computer, that would not have been my response.
Hmm.
There's something about the gadgetry that focuses my mind in such a narrow tunnel vision that I have to literally almost push my chair away to be able to break the kind of wavelength connection I have with that screen.
But they're here to stay, and this is the future.
So then we have to become even more conscious of what it can do to our capacity to relate to human beings.
Well, I think it's yes, but more importantly than that, we have to be conscious of it. But more importantly, we have to have the tools to stay human.
Okay. So literally, in that kind of scenario, I have to make a conscious decision to push myself away from the computer,
mm-hmm.
turn my body around, not just my neck,
mm-hmm.
and really look at the person
right.
that's come to approach me, not just, you know, have a conversation through the left side of my mouth.
Right, right.
So that's not rocket science, but it is a real commitment to break away from the technology and really relate to the human.
Yeah. You said a comment before about why we do this, right? So back to the blind dating example. So checking people out online, getting to know everything we possibly can get to know about them. And you were talking about this need for control, right? This
yeah.
need for control. We brought up a little bit about need to protect ourselves. What do you mean by need for control and need to protect ourselves?
Well, I think, let's do this the second, because protecting can involve many different realms. Certainly, if you sense someone's been stalking you, you want to find out all you can do to protect yourself.
Right.
On the other hand, sometimes we protect ourselves because we don't want to be, what I call it, the confronting your intimate foe, fear of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partly why some people do so much research.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure, you know, if they know something, I want to know what they think they're good at so then I can sound like I'm good at it too. You know, see, that to me is more of a neurotic way of trying to control a situation. Instead of being able to say to someone, you know, hey, I don't know that much about that subject, please enlighten me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're really allowing yourself not to have to be an expert in everything, and that's what's giving up control is allowing yourself to be who you are.
It's interesting. So people on one hand, we want to protect ourselves. We want to safeguard, right, make sure we know who we're getting involved with, make sure we know what kind of conversations are going to come up ahead of time so we're prepared and we can act like we know what we're talking about. Minimize the risk, right? It kind of seems self-explanatory. But then, I'm not sure. I think there's something else going on. Because some people, right, let's take the blind dating example, will look someone up online, get to know everything about them, seemingly to protect themselves, but then take other risks, health-related risks, like unprotected sex, right? So it's interesting.
Good point.
I'm going to know everything about this person who I'm meeting with online, but I'm going to go sleep with this person who I know nothing about.
and sleep with them, as you say, in an unprotected way.
That's just scary. So it's not all about safety. Something else is going on here. What do you think it is?
Because you're right. On one hand, you know, there's a difference, though, between, as I say, protecting your ego.
Right. And then actually protecting yourself, your
yes.
physical form and emotional form.
And sometimes we're, and especially I would say maybe more the younger generation. Certainly I could remember myself being a little.
Come on, old people do it too.
Yeah, but I can remember, you know, when you're in your 20s, you think you're immortal.
Yeah.
When I get up in the morning and have to stretch just to get the kinks out of my back, I know I'm not immortal.
You're like, uh-oh. Yeah.
So I think there is something about, you know, a younger generation that can, on the one hand, be very careful about protecting their ego, but almost like think they're immortal and don't have to really worry about smoking.
Right.
You know, unprotected sex.
Right. I think it's about judging other people.
Tell me
I
more.
I think we cyber check people out. I actually don't do this, by the way. I've got better things to do. Maybe I just don't care enough about other people. I don't know. That sounds horrible. But I think when people do this, I think it's usually not so much about protecting themselves, but I think it's largely about judging other people. So it's about, I'm going to find something that I'm better at than you, or find your weaknesses. Where are you weak?
You know, I think you're right, and I want to extend it.
Mm-hmm.
Because more and more I'm convinced the areas in which we judge others
mm-hmm.
are areas in which we feel insecure
yeah,
ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that, ironically, even judging others has a boomerang effect, and it really relates to my self-confidence, my sense of self-worth.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we try to disguise that by focusing on other people's weaknesses.
And by the way, judgment can be positive or negative. It's all judgment, right? So I can judge, oh, that person's really good, or this is a really good thing about this person, or this is good. That's a judgment. Good or bad, any labeling as such is a judgment. A non-judgment is, well, it just is. It just is.
Or I'd like
to think about.
Or I'd like to find out more about it.
Like to find out more about it, right?
Okay, we got 2 minutes to think of our closing, judgment or not.
Well, I want to give the listener some homework.
Okay.
When something happens this week, an event, rather than labeling it good or bad, I would encourage you to just consider it just is. And you're like, is what? Is good? Is bad? Is what? It just is. Me being blind, you know, a lot of people put a judgment on that. Well, it's bad. And they try to compensate. Oh, well, you have better hearing. Well, A, not true. And B, it doesn't matter. Being blind just is. And that's something when you can wrap your head around not judging something as good or bad, not putting that energy behind it. It kind of frees you up to just experience the experience.
Let me just say that I would think for someone to reach that place of equanimity, that it just is, you may have to ask some questions and have a little better understanding. Because I can tell, you know, initially when I met you, I had a lot of assumptions about blindness or didn't know, and you had to sort of educate me a little bit or share perspective. And now it's more that I see you as you, Emily, not as Emily, blind person, blind professional. I'm seeing Emily.
Well, that's certainly true that sometimes more information can be beneficial. But I think we can get to a point in our humanity where we can just that things just are without labeling them as good or bad.
Oh,
we may be still curious.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
We're not taking the curiosity.
Right. No, I'm not talking about, you're right about the labeling.
Right.
But I think sometimes.
That's all. Yeah, be curious, right? Yeah. I'm not taking that away. But just, you know, my homework is just, let's try to not focus on things as good or bad, especially if we're cyber checking someone out. Oh, interesting. They flunked out of school. All right. Not good or bad. It is, and that makes me curious what's going on with that person at that time, right? So it might give us more information to ask more questions, but let's not judge it. Let's not judge them based on the cover that is the online profile.
Well said.
All right. Well, to that end, I think we are about out of time. Tune in next week.